Well, good morning. And thank you for the warm welcome. Our text today is one you're probably familiar with. It comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, and you can open your Bibles there now if you have them with you. It's the story of Mary and Martha, these two sisters that the Lord knew during his earthly ministry. He visited their home on more than one occasion, and this is the famous story of where Christ comes to the house, Martha welcomes him in, and Martha goes about busily trying to serve him, well. She was trying to be a good hostess, make the Lord comfortable. But we see Mary, her sister, she sits at his feet quietly. She doesn't do anything but that. She sits at his feet quietly and she listens to him. That's our text today. And if you would please stand as I read the word of the Lord, if you're able. This is Luke chapter 10. 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. And let's go before the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you are now at the right hand of the Father in the heavens. Lord, I thank you for the life you lived on the earth, the walk that you performed, the deeds that you did, the teaching that you gave. Lord, I thank you that you inspired by your Holy Spirit, men to write down these things so that even as Mary sat at your feet and listened to your teaching, we can do the same. We can do this through your word. Lord, as we have before us an open Bible, I pray you would let your Spirit open our hearts to receive it. Lord, like you calmed the sea, I pray you would calm and settle down the anxious hearts that are here today in us. And Lord, I pray you would help us to reflect the spirit of Mary, to sit quietly at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and listen to his teaching. Lord, I pray your word would go forward from the pulpit here today, untwisted and untangled, unvarnished and clear. And Lord, I pray it would do its work. Lord, it's not always a pleasant work that it does from the side of the experience of those who are worked upon. Lord, your word kills, it cuts, it convicts, but it also makes alive. It gives the water that satisfies and wells up to springs of living water within us. Lord, I pray your word would do its work this morning. And I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. This account of Mary and Martha is a pretty popular text to hear from pulpits. Today, it's fairly commonly preached. You'll fairly commonly hear Mary and Martha talked about. Sadly, though, it's usually in a very shallow way. Usually this story, this account, gets boiled down, really twisted, into a sort of self-help message about personality types. And this is very sad to me. Many times you'll hear this passage read and people will say, well, there are Marthas in the world and there are Marys. Are you a Mary or a Martha? And they'll say something like, if there were no Marthas in the world, nothing would get done. She's a doer. She's a type A personality, someone who's busy about serving and wants to get things done. And I just want to point out that this really misses the mark. We are easily drawn away into thinking about shallow things when we should be thinking about everlasting things. This text of Mary and Martha has a lot to tell us today. And it reflects the same spirit of much of what we find throughout the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Especially in the Gospel of Luke, there's a common theme of this one thing that's necessary. And you can busy yourself about all kinds of other things, but if you forget the one, if you do not humble yourself and sit at the Lord's feet and listen to His teaching, then you've lost it. You've missed the boat. The main tilt of Martha and Mary's account is very similar to what we see later in Luke 12, where Christ tells the parable of the rich fool. It says, Jesus told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That parable and the story of Mary and Martha sums up pretty well the heart, probably, of America today. We could maybe even say the heart of American Christianity today. We are worried and bothered, anxious about many things, and we forget the one thing necessary. We spend our whole lives just working, running the rat race, trying to get ahead, get a higher salary, get a bigger house or a bigger boat. And what's it for? What's that grand plan of easy retirement for if we miss Christ in our life? It's for nothing. It's all for nothing if we miss Christ in our life. Really, the main point that Christ tried to get across, and he did get across, I think, to Martha and to those he spoke to in Luke chapter 12, is that there's one thing you need to make sure to do. If you are alive, if there's breath in your lungs, if you have a pulse, there's one thing you need to make sure to do, and that is to tend to your soul through Jesus Christ, to sit at His feet, listen to His teaching, and humble yourself before Him. It's a message of complete dependence on the Lord. And I think the last time I was here, I preached on the latter portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the whole point of that passage is that God is glorified in man's dependence upon Him. And so the Bible often repeats itself, you will find. That message comes up again here today. Now, there are a lot of passages that we could go through which make this same point. One other that I want to mention is a scene that's probably familiar in your mind. It's where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. You know this story. You've probably heard it many times. When Jesus went around and washed the disciples' feet, humbling himself and taking the form of a servant, when he got to Peter, Peter almost couldn't stand it. He was amazed. He said, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" He thought, if anything, he should be washing Christ's. And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." But Christ said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Now, Christ used that physical example to make a couple of spiritual points. One of them is the point of humility. And actually, it's one of the texts that forms the basis for our example to follow in Christ. Christ is God in the flesh. Tell me, what other religion is there where God himself comes down, taking the form of a humble servant to serve his creation, to serve his lowly creation? But that's what Christ did. That's the reality in him. Christ tells us himself, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Martha got distracted with serving. Instead of saying with Mary, "Lord, please serve me. I desperately need what only you can give." The Lord is glorified when we recognize our need and go to the one who can satisfy it. It's only in Christ where this everlasting gnaw, this emptiness in your heart, the thing you need most, it's only in Christ where it can be found. And secondly, in the example of Christ washing the disciples' feet, his point was that if you don't let the Son of God wash you, you have no portion with him. The good portion, the good share, is Christ. It's to be humbly served by Christ. All other things can fade away. I pray we would feel today convicted, convinced in our hearts that we can let everything else fade away. But let us have this one thing, Christ. Let us be served by Christ. We're told in verse 42 of our text today, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. Now I'm going to walk you through the text for today, Luke 10, 38 through 42. And to start, I'll tell you about the context of this passage. It starts out by saying, "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village." Jesus wasn't alone here. It's plural. They went on their way. He was joined by some disciples, most likely, as he normally was. It tells us that Jesus entered a village. And although he probably did have some companions with him, the emphasis here is on just himself. It's on Jesus himself and nobody else. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. We aren't told much about Martha, but we're told that it was her house. Martha was probably the oldest of the two. She probably was a widow. She owned this house, and that's where her and Mary lived. She welcomes Jesus into her home. And that is a good mark on Martha's account. First of all, she did welcome Christ into her home. She may have recognized that he was from God, maybe thinking he was a prophet, someone with words from God to say. And she did the good thing and welcomed him into her home. However, we see that there was more from her heart that the Lord required. This is similar also to the account of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and he came to Christ by night. He recognized that Christ was from God, that he spoke words from God, but he was only halfway there. He came to the Lord, he sought his personal presence, but his faith was only halfway. And the Lord told him very similarly, there's one thing that you need. He told Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You must be born again. Unless you are born of the Spirit, you will not see the kingdom of God. He doesn't give Nicodemus an easy way out. He gives him some difficult words to swallow. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit that allows us to humbly sit at the feet of the Lord. It's the work of the Holy Spirit changing our hearts that allows us to do as Mary did. It changes us from a Martha to a Mary here in this case. Someone who's distracted with everything else, and then someone who focuses on the Lord and sits humbly beneath him. This family, Martha and Mary, is one that Christ loved. They also had a brother named Lazarus. In John chapter 11, we see another time where Christ came to their home, their village, and it was to raise their brother Lazarus from the dead. In that text, Jesus spoke to Martha and said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And Martha, in that text, I'll read a little bit for you. She responded, and she said to him, "Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." So we see clearly that Martha, even if she wasn't a true, full-on believer at this point in Luke chapter 10, she became that way. She completely sold out to Christ. She believed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And like Jesus told Peter, when Peter said the same thing, "Blessed are you, for no one can say this unless it has been unless it has been granted to him by the Father." So Martha became a true, sincere believer. But in Luke chapter 10, she may have only been halfway. In verses 39 through 42, we start to see Mary and then the interaction that occurs. Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her." Christ is the only bread that never fades away. He's the only true and living God in the flesh. He's the only Son of God, the only Lord of glory. He's the only sacrifice for sins that can actually satisfy God. Christ is the light. He's the only way. We read in John that he is full of grace and truth, even while we are so empty of it. And the one thing that you have to do is to hold out your hands, realize you have nothing to bring that can buy your way. You have nothing before the Lord. You have to come with open hands and open ears. You have to receive from him, and you have to listen to him. There's a definite mark of humility that has to be in every single Christian. And if you don't have it, if you don't have an ounce of humbleness, then I feel I can say confidently, you're not a Christian. You're not in the Lord. It takes one who knows their need to go to the one who can give what they need. We have to realize we need to be taught in order to sit quietly at Jesus' feet and listen. That's what Mary did. She is our good example here. Someone who decided he has something to say that I need desperately to hear. You have to open your ears and listen to him. And there was nothing halfway or shallow about the way Mary went about this. She didn't give Christ one ear and carry on another conversation. She didn't go to another room and just listen from there. She didn't even sit easily in her comfortable chair or anything like that. She sat on the floor at the Lord's feet to look up to him and give her full, undivided attention. She listened to the Lord's teaching. And what an introduction we have to Mary in this verse. We're not told anything else about her at first. We're not told her age. We're not told what she did for a living. We're not told if she was married or had any kids. We're not told any of the things that we would commonly want to tell people, or the kind of things that we would portray on Facebook or Instagram, these kind of secondary things like where we work, what we do, what our hobbies are, the things we like. We're not told any of this about Mary. We're told this one thing at the start. What does it say? Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. That's like her memorial. And now that it is in Scripture, it has been read and cherished for over 2,000 years in the history of the Lord's church. She is Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. This should make us wonder, I think, what will we be remembered for? What will be our memorial? I remember that the tombstone of a great preacher and Christian writer of a previous generation, A.W. Tozer, when he was buried, they put one simple phrase on his tombstone. It says, A.W. Tozer, a man of God. And then it lists the date of his birth and death. I think it's helpful to ask ourselves this question. When I die, will I be someone on whose tombstone they would think to write, he sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching? Did that mark your life? Did you sit at the Lord's feet humbly and quietly and listen to his teaching? May God help us to be that kind of people. That's who Mary was. But Martha, in this case, even though she might have been a true believer at this time, and I think definitely later she was, in this case she was distracted with much serving. And there were good impulses here. Martha probably, like many of us would, wanted to make the guest in her home comfortable. She wanted to be a good hostess. She wanted to do her best. My mom, one of the things she's told me and my brother is that no matter what we do, there's one thing we cannot do. We cannot bring a girl home unannounced before she has a chance to clean the house. That's the kind of natural impulse of many women who are the keepers of a house. And it's a good one. It's nothing bad. Martha wanted to be a good hostess, to make the Lord comfortable. But she was distracted. She was anxious and troubled. Those are the three words that are used here in this text. Distracted, anxious, and troubled about many things. In this case, they were good things, but still, they were secondary. We have to order things rightly in our mind. And on a side note, I want you to think for a second. Can you think of three words that would better describe the average heart in our time? Troubled, anxious, distracted. That seems to me to be the marker for the average person in America right now, and really even the average person in American churches right now. We are anxious, we're troubled, we're distracted about all these secondary things. We're busy. Many of the things we're busy with might be good, but have we left our proper place? Have we left that seat on the floor under the Lord's feet, listening to His teaching? You need to realize that Satan sets hooks all around us to get our eyes locked onto anything from one moment to the next other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He will try as hard as he can, and he often succeeds in preventing us from sitting quietly for a while at the seat of Christ. And the generations that are alive today have bit some hooks hard. And Satan pulls us around every which way, like a puppet, like a rag doll. We're just tossed to and fro. And I think it's not just young people who this applies to. I feel that I have been shocked, really, to find regularly people in their 40s, 50s, even 80s and 90s who have sat in church and who know some Bible. And they've sat in church for decades, but they know very little of Christ. They've spent very little time in that posture of heart, sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to His teaching. And rather than what other people would think of you after you're gone, I want you to ask yourself right now, if this were your final day, or your final year, let's say, on the earth, would Christ, the all-knowing Lord of glory, say of you with approval, "This is one who sat at my feet and listened to my teaching. This is one who humbled himself or herself under my word. He took my yoke upon him." If not, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble. God's punishment against the wicked is what fills hell. It's what fills the pits of hell and keeps them there everlastingly. There is only one way to peace with the Father. And the good news today, perhaps if you've never heard this before, the good news today is that that action of sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to His teaching requires nothing from you. No work, no striving. You don't have to buy or beg your way there. Go before the Lord now in your heart. Christ bled on the cross to pay the ransom for many people. Look to this, the only Savior. Christ truly saves sinners. He completely washes their sins away. And the good news here is that to enter into His forgiveness is very simple on your end. You just believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. But we are in church here today. We are Christians, aren't we? I pray, and I do believe, that most of us, if not all here today, are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit, set apart. So what's the message for you today? It's learn more of Christ, you Christians. Spend the rest of your life at His feet. A disciple is literally a devoted student of a teacher. That's what it means to be a disciple. Someone who receives teaching from a teacher. If you are a disciple who refuses to learn, refuses to sit in the classroom of his teacher, then you are a false disciple. You have to get out of that rut of not learning anything about Christ, not receiving his teaching. Fly out of that rut. Don't spend another moment there. And learn from Christ. Learn from the glory of Christ. I read just recently a portion from a book called The Glory of Christ by John Owen. You can pick it up. You can pick up a paperback copy of it, very cheap. I do recommend that. The glory of Christ is the thing that should capture our vision from day one of the Christian life to the very end. And throughout all eternity, this will be what we feed on. This will be what captivates us. The glory of Christ. Glory dwells in Emmanuel's land. And lastly, I want to talk a little bit more about the first thing that we receive in Christ, which is our complete salvation, the complete forgiveness of sins. Christ pays every drop with His blood. He pays every penny of the price of your soul. And the moment you believe in Him, all of that is applied to you. You are set free completely to live completely for Him. And make sure that you never lose sight of that. Never forget that. No matter how much good serving you go on to do, no matter how useful you are to the Lord in your life, by His grace, never forget this first and foundational thing, the washing clean of your stained record, the washing clean of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins. That is what Christ purchased. And with it, we receive much more. The adoption as sons. And lastly, I want to make a point that not all serving is bad. I want to make it clear that the point is that Martha was distracted from the Lord with her serving. But serving is not a bad thing. In fact, the Lord calls us to His service. We just have to order things rightly. We have to get this cart not before the horse. First, we are forgiven, and we lay our head on that pillow every night. And then we live a life of productive, joyful labor to the Lord, joyful service. There are some hymns that get this point across very well. One of them says, basically, if I could give the whole world to the Lord to repay him for what he's done for me, that would be an offering far too small. But I'll do the best I can, which is giving him my entire self, my whole life. This is the point of Romans 12:1. Brothers, present yourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord, holy and acceptable to God. A man named Benjamin Warfield was a great Christian writer and preacher, likewise, of a previous generation. When he was a young man, beginning to devote himself to the Lord's service, a friend asked him, "Why are you entering into the ministry?" And he simply responded, "Because I think that's the place where I can do the best to repay the Lord for what he has done for me." And I'm confident he had in mind a correct ordering of things. He wasn't saying that he was actually paying back the Lord as though we could even come close to doing that. But he was getting across this sentiment that the Lord has done so much for us. What else can I do? There's nothing else I want to do but give my whole life to him. May we have that kind of spirit. And lastly, I'll just read the account from John's Gospel of one of the other times where Christ visited the house of Mary and Martha. And we see them carrying out this joyful service to the Lord in a proper way. Listen to this. This is John 12, 1 through 3. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. And that itself is serving the Lord. They gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with fragrance of the perfume. So Mary, who was our good example in Luke 10 of sitting quietly at the Lord's feet, listening to his teaching, there she is an example of humble service from gratitude back to the Lord. And I pray so earnestly that all of us today would get that right in our hearts. That first thing of the forgiveness of sins. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord's feet and listen to his teaching. We have to receive the food that only he can give. And then from that, may we skip out joyfully with gratitude serving the Lord all our days. And may the Lord make them fruitful by his word and by his spirit. Will you pray with me now? Lord, it's a simple message that we have before us today. But as you well know, it's one that has confounded many throughout the history of the world. And Lord, I just feel compelled to say, along with Christ, as he said, I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and you've revealed them to infants. For this way was well-pleasing in your sight. Lord, I pray for everyone in this building now and everyone who listens to these words. I pray that you would give them that kind of heart that is like a child's before you, with an open hand asking for the food that only you can give, and receiving it gladly from your hand. And Lord, I pray also that you would help each of us to be kicked out of the sinful ruts that we may be in. Lord, I pray you would cut us down to size with your word. I pray you would show us where we fall short so badly. And I pray you would help us to live for you now, fervently. Lord, wake us up, I pray. Wake up the little churches that you've placed throughout Kansas. Wake us up to your glory, the glory of Christ. I pray, let him be our hope and our song and our love and our joy. And Lord, let us never forget the high price he paid. Let that give a weight and a seasonableness to our conversation and to the way we walk in the world. Let us be people with joy that is serious, joy that is sober, knowing our own sinfulness and your amazing glory and grace. And I ask your blessing upon these people here in Jesus' name. Amen.